Good morning. It is so stinking early. Couple of things. One of our favorite listeners of all time had a baby this week. So shout out to our friend Austin White. Him and Liz had a baby. His name is Charlie. And goodness gracious, those cheeks, man. So cute. Crazy. We are in a crazy time right now in a crazy world. Thing number two. This is so funny. I don't think I've ever asked for like a prayer request on here, but about a month ago when this thing was about, it looked like it was going to get crazy. Maddie and I decided, let's go ahead and get married because we want to spend this time together. If the world is nuts and we're tired of waiting. So, this Saturday, Maddie and I are getting married with just our family and outside on a farm, and it's going to be a socially distant wedding, and it's going to be awesome. And we are like so stoked. There's going to be like 10 people there, and it's going to be the best. And I just clicked my seatbelt. So if you're like, where's Thomas right now? I'm about to drive to work. And before I go, I'm going to have to read this thing. But Lee and I thought, since we can't really be together in the same place right now, we're going to do like a blind reading of the same scripture and then talk about it. So, and it is also Holy Week. So when this thing comes out, it'll be Maundy Thursday. So we're going to look at what was happening on that first Maundy Thursday. So this is from John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. By the way, I hope we're praying for this thing to end. I'm praying for it every day, that it would just end sooner than people thought, that it would go away. I'm asking the Lord to do big things in it, to, I bet in places all around the world, he is showing up in crazy ways, and we're praying for it. I'm praying for it. I'm praying that, you know, I'm praying that he would do something crazy and just end this thing. So join us in that. It says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now that I am what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to the place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It keeps going. So, man, we're gonna read a lot. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do it quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Ooh, that would be weird. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Okay, now I'm starting to drive. So if I don't remember something 100% clearly, forgive me. But, man, look at those white jelly. They're beautiful. The thing, there's like so many things that stand out to me in this every time. And like the first one that did right off the bat was so, like, I think this is very, I don't know. This is just, I guess, because of today and the fact that we're going through a weird time in the world. But the whole, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but you will later understand." I just think it, put aside the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, that happens a lot in my life. So many times I have no idea what Jesus is doing. I don't. And so many times I try to understand it and I prescribe my own interpretation, whatever the thing is, to fit how I want to see it. I put my own kaleidoscope on it. And it's so funny because I wonder how many times he is sitting there just laughing and saying, "You don't know what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And it's hard to be an American with that mindset to think, "I don't really know what's going on." It just is, to be frank with you. But it's awesome that he knows exactly what he's doing. There were so many things in this where the Lord knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he said it to their faces right there. And they did not understand it. It's so interesting. It blows my mind when it says every time that the disciples didn't really understand what he meant when he was talking about Judas. I don't know if they just had a lot of goodwill in their heart towards Judas and they thought, like, that can't be what he means. It's Judas. He's the one with the money. He's the one who always gives it to the poor people. Which, like, you know, I think the only reason he probably did that is because Jesus asked him to. And it's just funny. I guess, I don't know. To me, it just feels like, and it's retrospective. I mean, I've read this 4,800 times. You know that Judas is going to betray Jesus early on in the Gospels. I don't remember which author says it, but at one point, it may even be John. I could be wrong about that. Lee, you can correct me later or earlier because you may go first. I don't know. But when they're listening out to the disciples, one of the authors says, and Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him. So you know it's super early. Like, this is going to be the guy from the beginning. And the disciples are here scratching their heads. And it takes me back to the part at the beginning where he says, "You don't understand what I'm doing. You don't realize it. But later you will understand." I don't know if there's been so many times in my life where I can look back and I can see this crazy thing. Come on, Chrysler, speed it up a little. This crazy thing where there's just a thread where the Lord was at work the whole time. He was, and it's so obvious now He was in charge the entire time. He knew what he was doing the entire time. I had no clue. I thought I did, and I tried to interpret it, and I was just a bit off. So it may be better for me not to try to understand what he's doing in the middle of whatever he's doing. It may be better for me to just say, you're in charge. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly how you want this to go. You say that you love me. I believe it. You say that you have a plan for me. I believe it. Okay, then I'm going to let you do your thing. I think that is so cool. The other things that jumped out to me about this, it's hard for me to overlook this, and this could be a bit of a stretch. I don't think it is. I have no reason to believe it's not. I think it's probably true. This is Jesus' last night with his guys. And we have, there's a couple, chapter 14 goes on after this, and we get more information there. We get the vine and the branches and, like, all this really cool stuff. But, I mean, like, the book of John is, what, 21 chapters? And starting at 13, almost half of it is in Jesus' last few nights. And it's like John is like, hey, I could be wrong about this, but I think this is true. It's like he's waving a flag and saying, listen, hey, listen. This is his last few days on earth with us. This is important. I'm leaving you. And I wonder if Jesus was thinking this. I don't know. But part of me thinks he's like, hey, I am leaving you with some important stuff. Like, I'm going out of this world. I'm not going to be walking around with you much anymore. You know, I'm going to come back for a few days here and there and, like, show up to you in places, and it's going to be awesome. But, like, for the past 3 years, we have gone everywhere together. We have high-fived. We have hugged. We have kissed each other. I have healed your mother-in-law. I have healed our best friends. I have preached in front of you. Anytime you have had a question, I have answered it. To your face, over a loaf of bread, with a glass of wine, camping in some valley, you know, all the places, on a mountaintop in the snow, like all these things. Oh my goodness, none of that wood is strapped in. If I die in 2 seconds, it's because of this giant red oak tree, no, it's a pine tree, fell out of the bed of this guy's truck and crushed me, because there's nothing holding it in it. If he hits a bump, I'm done for. But anyways, Jesus is, I mean, he had been with him every step of his minute, you know, just with him, side by side, able to do the thing. And then, out of nowhere, even though he's told them a couple thousand times, a few times at this point, hey, this is going to happen. I don't know if he's like snapping his fingers and saying, listen, hey, I'm going out of this world. Here's some stuff I need you to know. This is important. Take out your notebook and write this down. And I feel like John got that. And, you know, this is the last of the red letters where he is face to face with his guys. And I always feel like, all right, Thomas, get out your pen. All of it's important. All of it is. Every word that he says is important. Every moment that Jesus is on this earth is important. Everything he's doing to me now is important. Everything Paul writes after this is important. I just feel like this is underlined. It's like, hey, these are the last things I'm saying to my disciples. In the last night of my life on this earth, I'm going to spend it with these guys, and I'm going to talk a lot. And I'm going to do a lot of things. He washed his disciples' feet. I think it's really, really important that we serve people. I think it's really, really important that we serve Jesus. And I think the way that we do it is we serve other people. I think every morning we have to get up and we have to say, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do for you today, Lord? What does that look like? How can I be your slave today? You are my master. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to wash people's feet? Maybe. I don't know. Tell me. I'll do it. You have a circle of friends around you who are close to you. Some of you listening to this have roommates, have parents, have whatever the thing is, very near to you. How do you serve them? What do? How do you wash their feet? I don't know. Maybe you have an answer really quick. Maybe you don't. But I do feel like this is, like, underlined. And then I'm trying to read the Bible while driving. I don't know if that's allowed. I think that's against the law. So if a police officer is listening to this, which I don't know if any of them are, please forgive me. Also, Lord, protect me right now. I'm not really reading, so sorry. I'm not. I'm just kind of glancing. Down in verse 34, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Man, a lot of people get this one wrong. A lot of people have an idea of, this is how they will know that I am a Christian. This thing right here. The t-shirt that I wear. The verse I put in my Instagram bio, Joshua whatever, or what, I don't know, like none of those things are wrong, but that's not the thing. He says it really clearly. Do you want people to know, do you want people to know that you are someone who follows me? Do you want people to know that you're going to go to heaven and spend eternity with me? Then love them, every one of them. There isn't one you can't love. The Bible never says that you have to be friends with somebody. There's nowhere in scriptures that say you must be friends with this person. You must laugh with them all the time. You must have inside jokes with everybody. But it does say this, that you have to love everybody. And Jesus even takes it up a step and says, like I have loved you. Which, like, okay, that makes me shake a little bit. I've never loved anyone like Jesus has loved me. I just can't. I can't do it. Right? I don't know. He says it. If you want the world to know that you follow him, love people. Love them. Throw your arms around them. Kiss them. Welcome them. Make people feel like they're the only people in the world when you're with them. There's a lot of ways that people think this is going to prove that I am a disciple of Jesus, that I'm a follower. I'm going to make it my goal after this. I'm on my way to work right now. I think I have one very specific job today, and that's to love people. The people in my office, sequestered as we are in our little offices within our office, with our masks and our gloves on today, I'm gonna love them. I'm gonna serve them. I don't really know how, but between now and 1209 Hilton Road, I'm on Pellissippi Parkway right now. I've got about 14 minutes before I get to my office. As soon as I end this, I'm going to pray to the God of the universe. How can I love these people today? How can I serve these people today? What can I do? How can I serve my fiance? How can I serve my best friends? How can I serve the people I'm going to be around today? How can I wash their feet? And the random people that I run into, how can I love them so they know I'm a disciple of Jesus? Happy Holy Week, everybody. I'm praying that this thing ends quick. I'm praying that the God of the universe will do something amazing. Have a great Easter weekend, however you may spend it.
Hey, everybody. It's probably loud. I'm in my car again. We're doing another car episode, and yes, my car is running, but I'm gonna not drive for the part where I read scripture to you. I'm just kind of getting into a place where I can park for a second. I hope everybody's doing good. Happy Holy Week. I'm glad that you are tuning in, and I hope that we can give you a few moments of encouragement as you move closer to Good Friday. This episode drops on Monday, Thursday. And Mondi, I guess I always say that wrong just because it sounds funny. But Maundy Thursday, and which was the day that Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. And so Thomas and I are going to both read out of John chapter 13, which deals with those moments. And I'm going to read. I don't know what Thomas is doing because we decided to just kind of do this blind. But I'm going to read from the very end of the chapter. Okay, here I go. I'm pulling over beside the Long Branch Beauty Salon in Clinton, Tennessee. Here we go. John chapter 13, starting in verse 31. Jesus had just dismissed Judas. And he said, what you're going to go do, do quickly. And of course, Judas was going to go betray Jesus. And John does this really interesting thing at the end of verse 30, where he says, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. And John, the Apostle John is really, I mean, yes, he was a fisherman and he was, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But he was also like, he was also a poet, and he was also just a deep thinker, and he says certain things really, really specifically. And this is one of the things that he's telling us, that it's night. Whenever John says that it's night, there's like a really particular thing that's happening. So John chapter 13, verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son and himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me. And just as I told you, or just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Tough moment for Peter right there. If you really knew me, you would know. I love that little phrase. A lot of people really know me, but it's just kind of a way to say like a thing that you've never really maybe told anybody before. But one of the things that's funny about me is the only movie that I like that portrays Jesus is a claymation version of the story of Jesus called The Miracle Maker. And I've always liked that version. But one of the reasons that I like it is with clay, I mean, you can't really try to portray facial expressions too much. I mean, you're just trying to do kind of movement and stuff like that. It's a really clever version and everything, but it's not like an actor trying to make the faces that Jesus made when he said certain things. And I think that's good, because there is no way that any actor could ever film this scene. There's no way that we as human beings could ever imagine what your face is supposed to look like when you tell one of your best friends, you're about to betray me. And I think that, you know, some actors would try to portray it as like just profound disappointment, or even like a touch of anger or something like that. And then some actors, I don't know how different actors would spin this moment, but nobody could ever do it justice. There's like, John can't describe it to us, because Jesus, he's just so different. He's so different than we could imagine. He's so different than we could anticipate or predict. Jesus is and was Almighty God, the Son, equal with God in power and authority and glory and all of that stuff. And Jesus was not created, but has always existed with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is outside of time. He knows everything. Every moment that we would consider past or future is an incomprehensible present now, an eternal now for Jesus. And that's not something I could explain to you. I can't really understand it myself. It just is. And so Jesus always knew what Peter was going to do. The very first moment that Jesus became Peter's friend. He knew about the moment that Peter would deny him. The very first moment that Jesus, like that moment when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus also knew that this moment was part of Peter's story. And he knew that after Peter died, that Peter would be perfected in the love of God forever and ever. And he's been amazing for thousands of years of our reckoning. And Jesus has always known all of that. And so if you know everything and you know how you're going to pay for it and you know how you're going to handle it, and so you're not surprised and you're not disappointed, you just know. Like, that's the thing with Jesus, is his love just knows. He doesn't find things out. He isn't taken off guard. He just knows. And that's the same thing with all of your sin and all of my sin and all of our screw-ups and the moments where we let ourselves down. We promised we wouldn't do a thing again, and we do. And I love that about this scene, that just that there is an incomprehensible look on Jesus' face when he says to Peter, "You're going to lay your life down for me? Before tonight is over, you're going to deny that you even know me three times." And we would assume that Jesus is so disappointed and so upset. And yet, he had an incomprehensible look of like, I guess just like, I love you, I accept you, I know you. I know stuff about you you've never even thought about yourself. You don't even know. I know the depths. Psalm 139 says that he knows, before a word is on our tongue, he knows it completely. He knows the motivation behind it. He knows the insecurities behind it. He knows the posturing. He knows everything. By the way, I just passed the St. Teresa Catholic Church in Clinton, and they have a cross in the front yard, and it has a red sash on it, and it just got me. I'm driving by the Clinch River, and the red buds are out, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day, and the red sash is reminding everybody that drives down Seavers Boulevard that the saddest, darkest day is right around the corner in the midst of this beautiful spring day. And Jesus knew that. When he looked into Peter's eyes at this dinner, at this Last Supper, he knew what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to handle it. He knew that he was going to so eradicate sin that there's coming a moment where it's never going to figure into our thinking ever again. And that is so exciting. Just for a minute, as a thought experiment, I want you to think about, and if you're a place where you can close your eyes, great. Maybe you're driving or something like that, listening to this podcast, so closing your eyes would be a really bad idea. But if you're at a place where you can close your eyes, maybe do it for a second and imagine, what would your relationship be with Jesus be like if sin just didn't exist anymore? If you never felt bad again, if it was just you and Jesus and there was no more sin, what would that feel like? What would it be like? It's so cool. I don't remember when it was the first time that Tom Job pointed out to us in our church that John chapter 14, verse 1, which, you know, the chapters and the verse numbers weren't added until centuries later. But right after Jesus says to Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny three times that you know me." Right after he says that thing to Peter, the very next verse is John 14, 1, which there wouldn't have, it just happened right after that. There were no verse numbers in those days. Jesus said the words, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." The very next thing he said was, "But don't let your heart be troubled." How kind. How tender. He said, "You believe in God? You believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If that wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to come and get you, man. It's going to be gone forever." Maundy Thursday, it's named that because of the Latin word for a new command. Right before this thing happened, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." That's the new command. That's what Maundy is, just kind of a reworking of the Latin word for new command. And that's the new command. And the love that we are told to give each other comes from the love that Jesus has for us. A love that is so ridiculous and so huge and works towards the moment where there's no sin anymore and just looks forward to the sweet, untethered, unbound love of two friends with nothing but peace and goodwill in between them. Oh, man. I hope that's an encouragement for you. It's an encouragement for me. If it's not an encouragement for you, then as soon as you can, drive beside the Clinch River and think about it again. And maybe in the midst of that beauty and in the midst of that peace, it'll dawn on your heart the same way it is mine. A couple of shout outs before we're done. Shout out to my friends Austin and Liz White, who Liz brought a new little boy into the world, and he's going into a home of love and fun and laughter, and I'm jealous to have parents like Liz and Austin. Charlie White, here's to you, buddy. We've got your back. You're our family now. We love you guys. We're thankful for you, and I pray that as you enter into Good Friday and then Holy Saturday and then Easter Sunday, that your heart would be full of the fact that there's a day coming with no more sin and no more sadness and nothing standing in between us and an eternal love. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious. This is all my